You're listening to a new episode of Empathy Always Wins.
Raphael, thank you so much for coming on Empathy Always Wins. And, you know, we were just talking about the incredible work you're doing and you spend time serving the U.S. And I think that there's just so much here to uncover. So before we dive into today's show and today's episode, can you tell us a little bit more about who you are and maybe even how we met and a little bit about the work that you're doing?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is, of course, Raphael, and I'm with Mega Launchers. In essence, some of my background, I'm originally from the Dominican Republic, grew up in the United States in Miami, Florida, spent most of my life really just giving to others and seeing how I can just kind of make the world around me a better place through volunteering, through just my military service, through them being a part of advisory boards, board meetings, things like that. But in essence, what I truly enjoy doing here in the Web3 space is, in essence, is connecting the dots. So in essence, I decided a few years ago, I said, okay, I'm really good at connecting with others. Now, how can I, you know, monetize it a little bit while at the same time still feel good about what I'm really good at? And that's just literally connecting with people and seeing how I can provide solutions for others.
And this is basically, like, I think when I saw you, I also understood that you are a very empathetic person. You have very good emotional intelligence. You're able to read the people in front of you. You're able to create great emotional sort of, or create bonds right away. And that is a very, you know, unique inherent skill set. Do you think you were born with that skill, or is there something that you kind of had to work on to develop it, especially now that you're monetizing off of that skill?
You know, it definitely, I would give mostly credit to my mother. God bless her. She has been my biggest role model as far as how my personality is. I would say just growing up around her, seeing her doing the same things to other people was a big influence as to my life. You know, I remember just walking. She worked for 20 years for American Airlines. Between Miami International Airport and SDQ, which is the international airport in Santo Domingo, you know, people would randomly stop me and say, "Hey, I know your mother." And they would just go on to tell me some funny stories or just amazing things about my mother. And it was always related about her, how selfless she was, about how caring and nurturing and just how nice she was. And that truly struck an impact in my life. Early on in my life, I would ask my mom, "Why do so many people like you? How did you learn?" Because, you know, I've always had a curious mind, and it was taught by her grandfather, by her father. So I think it's just kind of like a skill that eventually gets passed on, that I don't know if some people are naturally just born with it, but I think at the same time, others can acquire it if you have an open mind to it.
I totally believe that. And I think that there's, like, you know, as you were saying, and before we get into a little bit of, you know, the meta, what you're doing at Meta Launchers, and I know you were talking about community offline before we hopped on, but I think, you know, there is an inherent sense of it being a skill set where, you know, we can almost, because we are emotional beings, right? So I think getting attuned to that, I mean, everyone's different, right? Whether it's, you know, not everyone can have the fortune of having a lovely, beautiful, emotionally intelligent mother, but everyone can kind of have that sort of humanity within them to kind of understand what kindness entails from us and giving back and volunteering and just serving others. So I think that, you know, what you're saying, there's just so much power in it. And I think that if we just take a moment and realize how much power is in just holding back and doing things with unconditional response to what, you know, typically we would expect from others to do. And I think that really brings the humanness within us when we come to interact with others. So now that you are a leader in a community, how does that change? How do you take that skill set and almost and lead with empathy? How do you consider yourself a leader today, and how do you consider yourself using the skill sets that you have to become an effective leader? What's the hardest thing for you in the process?
Definitely, I would say, look, leadership for me is, it's defined for most of my life is the ability to influence, lead, or guide others as to accomplishing a common task, goal, mission. So I think in order for someone to be able to lead with empathy, one, you would have to start, with yourself internally. My life wasn't all beautiful, neither was my mother's and neither was my grandfather's either. We have all had our struggles, with all types of things. And, and I've seen the moments of weakness in my mother. I've had my moments of weakness, of trials and tribulations myself. So it's a matter of just looking internally and finding strength from within, comes through just accepting one, first, who you truly are as an individual, being honest with your feelings, and then also just really being, in truly present with how your body is feeling at the end of the day. And then with you understanding, okay, maybe I'm noticing that with these emotions or with how I'm feeling right now, I'm noticing a little bit of tension coming from my abs, or from, I'm squeezing my shoulders are a little bit tense, and then learning to just kind of ease up. It has really led me to be able to just overall more control of just how I react to, situations that otherwise I may have in other occasions reacted emotionally. So as a leader, we have to understand that there are folks and individuals that we all, that all of us are come from different, creeds, through different perspectives of lives. There are people with different ideologies that essentially we work with, especially in Web3, different cultures, different society norms. So at the end of the day, it's also having an understanding of that the world is not only it's not only through the lens that you were brought up in, that there are maybe different size lenses or different colors or different tints to the lens, that in essence, you would just need to be understanding and be comfortable with yourself, and then have some understanding of others as well. So I would say my approach to leadership is definitely of one that's more of compassion, but also one that, I just try to keep everyone motivated, because at the end of the day, we're all coming together to accomplish a goal or a task. And that's just kind of how I keep everyone aligned. It's, hey, we're all here to do this. And I change up the message a little bit, fine tune it based on what is important or valuable to that individual that I'm communicating with.
And I know that you did serve in the army. I know that there's the sense of almost discipline that the army, the word, serving in the army sort of makes us feel. How has that experience impacted your life?
Yes. So I actually served in the United States Marine Corps.
Marine. Whenever we say Marine, that's so weird in Arabic or in Egypt, when people in the US say Marine, we all, because it's one word in Arabic, it's Geish, it's army. So like, but forgive sure. me.
No, it's okay. Usually I don't mind. I just don't want my former colleagues to then come back and be like, hey,
no, it's a mistake on my side, my linguistic.
No, it's okay. In essence, so with regards to the discipline aspect, again, having discipline, I think, should start from within, then it comes in the outside. So being disciplined with the things that you allow one that you first allow to view, to listen to, and as well put in your body. So the food, the any substance, the things that you allow people to tell you, or the media or the entertainment that you choose to engage in, having some discipline in those areas, I think then lead to more of the external disciplines as far as being on time, as far as, you know, being more healthy, things of that nature. So if you ask me, I think the military was very good at teaching us a sense of discipline. One, for internal, keeping ourselves at a standard. In essence, it kind of motivated or forced everyone around us to kind of work together to maintain the standard and improve it. And I think that really just helped me, you know, as I moved transitioning into the civilian world, just kind of keep that certain standard. Now, granted, when I was going to college, I saw what happens when you don't keep that standard. And I just noticed how my mental health suffered, how my body suffered, and my overall view of life ended up suffering when I didn't hold myself accountable to that standard that I had placed in myself from the military or even through my upbringing in life. So I think that it's essential to have.
I think you mentioned a very important word here, and that is accountability. I think accountability means so much for so many people. And I think that this level of, or the sense of ownership, almost when you're part of a team, really makes or breaks a peak performer. And I think that, you know, I'm not sure whether it's, you know, whether it's perhaps I come also from a professional swimming background environment. So I was an athlete as well. And I feel like, you know, when there is an upbringing, when there's kind of a little bit of strictness towards discipline and towards maintaining a level of consistency at a younger age, I almost find that there's a correlation, a little bit of correlation between that and sometimes your attitude in life towards a specific goal or objective that you feel very inclined to achieve. So I think what I wanted to ask, and I wanted to almost have your take on it, how do you find that, you know, we can better deploy empathy, or we can better become more cognizant of others in teams working together and other people's well-being? I know you were mentioning how you start commencing team meetings, but in general, what would you say to people out there that almost find that there's it's hard to care for others but still have a really solid growing team and a high performing team?
Sure. So definitely all starts with understanding, again, if you understand what the mission is, and not to talk into too much military jargon, but at the end of the day, if you're on a company, or if you're in a sports team or whatnot, at the end of the day, the mission is that we want to win. If you're in a team, or if you're in a company, is you want to grow, you want to be successful, you guys want to essentially be a major player in the market, or whatever it is the core values are of that organization that you're a part of. I would, you know, you would have to understand, you know, kind of where you want to go. And from understanding what the mission is, you can then go back and then say, all right, the main focus here is reaching this goal when we're coming as a collective, right? But at the end of the day, we're all individuals. You would have to then understand that as individuals, we all come together with our own needs or our own reasons for being part of that collective or that organization. So I think it all begins with understanding and actually going and reaching across the aisle, or, you know, and just getting to know who your colleagues are, what's important to them, what their backgrounds are, what their personality traits are. Because at the end of the day, we're all created individually. And at the end of the day, if you don't understand that, you know, Susie here is a little bit more introverted, and she values more being just doing the task correctly and on time, And in essence, you are trying to kind of communicate to her, you know, through a different area that's not as important for her, then you know, at the end of the day, you're going to see some friction. So I think empathy in as a collective really comes with understanding your team members and just kind of communicating that way, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think those who spend more time investing in others, their team members, I mean, they get so much more good returns on their, you know, on the overall performance of their team. And I think one last sort of segment I want to dive into here with you is, how do you think Web3 can improve the mental health and well-being of this next generation?
Oh, great question. So, as you know, mental health in this industry, well, mental health as a whole, and I could speak from, you know, the perspective as a veteran of the United States military, and as well as, you know, just where I come from, is mental health is sometimes a big challenge to seek the right help, seek help in, you know, from a professional. And sometimes it's kind of hard with maybe the environment that you grew up around to be able to clearly communicate exactly what you're going through, you know, exactly what's in your head, exactly what's in your mind. And I think, at least from my experience and from my perspective, that's where some of my symptoms of mental health issues have arrived. It's really just from not being comfortable or from not being able to clearly communicate exactly what what you're going through, in essence. So I think Web3 provides, you can look at it, at least from my perspective, from two angles, because this was on some of the communities that us at Mega Launchers worked with. We've seen some really great examples on how they try to nurture mental health, or try to promote positive, you know, the development of mental health. And that is through either resources of like being able to, now we have a community that's able to contribute to bringing in a mental health professional to either have, you know, Ask Me Anythings or AMAs, as we say in the industry, to be able to come in and just, you could talk to a mental health professional, or you can have a mental health professional come and post and or just get resources of constant. I keep wanting to go back to thinking about Probably Nothing, which is one of the projects that we work with, where in essence, there's a mental health channel on their Discord. And, you know, God bless, you know, the Probably Nothing team, Jeremy Fall and all them. Great partners, I must say. This is not paid ad, but I really like how you know, the community has really been there for each other, and I would say that's probably a great example of like the mental health corner. Everyone's coming in and saying something nice, sharing resources, sharing information, and all that. So that's one area that we can have that I see it. The other one is just the fact that you're talking to, you know, strangers, or not necessarily strangers, but community members, that in essence, you guys are all here, same thing, to try to support each other. So now maybe in not such a public way, or maybe even in a public way, whatever's more comfortable for you, sometimes I found myself being able to easily write down how I'm feeling with my community members than it would be me communicating with, say, someone that I know in real life, for example. So
the intimacy of the community, you mean, is much more, brings people much more together in Web3. I think it's I think that sense of community, like being like-minded and finding oneself within others, I think is that really, like, is that what you're trying to say around Web3?
Exactly. Yes. A more eloquent way of saying what I just said.
Yeah, no, and look, I think there's so much in terms of VR and AR and I mean, there's people say all sorts of things, but I mean, I once put a headset on with VR, and oh God, like the meditations headset. And I know that's different to Web3, but like the frontier technologies that are coming in, they're just really, really, really remarkable in the terms of how they are able to just make you feel different instantly, even if it's just to kind of take away what's going on to reduce stress right away. So, Rafael, your name is also Saif. Tell us a little bit more about that before we before we wrap things up.
Yeah, so great question. So with Saif, it was a name that was given to me by, it's in essence my Islamic name that was given to me by my friend's mother. I think she heard a lot of stories about me over the years of how I've been and the fact that I do try to embrace a warrior spirit. So I think the name Saif, meaning sword, to her may have been the most fitting. But I truly enjoy and cherish the Arab culture and the Islamic culture overall. So I have in essence embraced the name Saif as well, especially here in the Arab world.
Thank you so much, Rafael. It's been amazing having you, and you're honestly a very, very, very bright spirit to whoever speaks to you. And I know that it hasn't come at a simple low cost. I know that for sure. It almost is what you do in private is the energy you wear in public. And I think that is, one of the first things I felt personally when I spoke to you at Jitex and got to know you there. But I really salute you and I honor you for doing the very difficult work and showing up the way you show up, because not a lot of gentlemen have the courage to muster their vulnerabilities in a way that allows them to show up in that manner. So I just want to say thank you so much. Muchas gracias. I hope
Afwan.
I love Spanish, man. I speak Spanish as well as Arabi. So I love the culture. I love everything about, the entirety of, Latin Central America. It's very similar to Egypt and very similar to the culture. The difference is the religion, but everything else is similar. So what you're saying about meeting Susie and making sure that, we're able to meet people where they're at takes a lot of learning about people's backgrounds. And I find that it's just so beautiful when you understand how different people can be and their upbringings, and then you go into food and music and all that stuff, but that's where you get outside of people. But Rafael, I just want to say thank you so much for your time and energy. It's been incredible having you on the show.
Thank you so much. And if I can say one last thing, for anyone that's listening, guys especially, look, you do not lose your manhood for you being honest with yourself, for going out there and seeking help. At the end of the day, there's nothing more powerful than a man that is able to really be honest about himself and with himself and go out there. And I'm telling you, your life will change and everything will work for the better if you just don't learn to just take everything in internally, go out there and seek help if needed.
Absolutely. I couldn't stress this message further. I really, really, really appreciate it coming from you. And Rafael, it's been an absolute honor having you. Thank you so much for coming.
The honor's mine. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Do feel free to share it with your friends. Drop us a rating on Apple. Subscribe to the show. Follow it on Spotify. And we'll see you soon in a new episode of Empathy Always Wins. Take care and have a lovely day, guys.